What we want to do this evening is to exhort us on a very crucial matter, and I will give you the background to it. I told you guys that I was going to take some time off to pray, and I'm still praying, still taking that time out to pray. But in the course of my prayer this past few days, culminating in today particularly, a scripture came to my mind. In fact, God spoke to me and gave a scripture. So I'll read the scripture and then I'll tell you what he said and how it applies not just to me, but to every one of us. John chapter 21. John chapter 21 from verse 15. Let me read it through to 23. John 21 from 15 through to 23. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter. You remember this encounter. This was after the Lord Jesus had risen. And they had gone. Peter said he was going a fishing, and other people followed him. And they had labored to fish and they couldn't catch any fish. And then the Lord was on the seashore. He had was already preparing fish for them, and they came to eat. So after the meal, so that's where we're taking off now from verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Let me pause here. You know, sometimes, like I said earlier when we're praying, we are unable to hear what God is saying because we have our minds tuned on what it is we want to hear. There is a classical example of a man who does not understand or appreciate the fact that he has been forgiven, and that he's actually being brought into the fold and being reissued with his mandate. But he is thinking that the Lord is upset with him. And so when the Lord asks the third time, Peter is saddened. He said, but you know all things now. Why this grilling? Why do you go through this with me? I pray that our hearts will be receptive to what God wants to say to us today. I didn't hear your amen. In verse 18, I continue. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest with thee whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Of course, we know that this was speaking how Peter would be killed. In verse 19, the Bible says, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, saith the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Let's pause. We usually want to gauge our standing with God by looking at other people. That's the tendency, the natural tendency that we have, is to gauge our standing with God by looking at how God relates with other people. A number of times, we see how, you know, God is interacting with someone and we believe that we are different. That God does not have that kind of affection towards us as he had towards somebody else. Look at verse 20 again. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following. Is there any disciple that Jesus does not love? I'm asking a question now. Is there any? But how come they have placed that signature on John that Jesus loves him? As if he doesn't love any other person. But Jesus loves us all. So we look at a pastor, for example, and say, definitely God loves him more than he loves me. There is no measurement of the love that God has for any one of his children. He loves us equally, every single one of us. There is no special thing about us. Each one of us is loved equally. I want you to understand that today. Equally. There is no weight. The fact that he's giving attention to one person might mean that he has something for that person to do more than the other. But it doesn't mean that that attention is to stamp on him a greater love than on the other fellow. Which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayed thee? Maybe because it was him that God told. But we know that it was actually Peter who actually asked, who is he that is to betray him? But Peter did not ask openly. What did he do? He nudged John to go and ask. So let's take that as a caution. Because I find many people behaving as if God does not love them. If you are a born again child of God, you are loved as much as he loves Jesus. You can be the one who can be running away from him, but he loves you. Peter did not appreciate that fact. If the Lord Jesus did not love him as much as he loved John, what was he doing coming to eat a meal? Why would he be asking him to feed his lamb, feed his sheep? So that made Peter to ask in verse 21. It says, Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Verse 22. Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Verse 23. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Do you see how we twist the word of God and give it our own interpretation? John is putting the matter straight. Today, I want to speak to us as the Lord spoke to me. And so I'll give you the title, which is what God said to me. Mind your own business. Peter had been given an assignment to do. Instead of minding what he has been told to do, he is putting his eye on John. I said, what will this man do? How does it concern you? I have told you what you will do. What is your business with somebody else's what he is going to do that you are asking questions about him? And the Lord now said, well, if I decide, if I make up my mind that this fellow will be alive till I return, is that your business? Follow me. That is what matters. You follow me. So I ask, I say to you, as the Lord said to me, mind your own business. Now, someone will look at that statement and say, that's a very derogatory statement. It is not. It is actually a significant statement. Because your business is what God has asked you to do. And he said, mind it. Focus on it. Tend it. Make sure that that business does not fail. Don't poke your nose into someone else's business. Except you are there to help him, to strengthen him. Mind your own business. In Proverbs chapter 27, the Bible tells us, warns us that, let me read it, that certain things do not endure forever. From 23 to 27, Proverbs 27, 23 to 27, it says, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. For riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation? There are times when the crown will just cease. The hay appeareth, and the tender grass showeth itself, and herbs of the mountains are gathered. The lamps are for thy clothing,
and the goats are the price of the field. And thou shalt have goat's milk enough for thy food, for the food of thy household, and for the maintenance of thy maidens. What is he saying here? Be diligent in your business. The flock, the herd, that is your business, whatever it is that God has given to you. If you are in ministry, the ministry that God has committed to your hands, focus on it. Take care of the flock of God. They will take care of you when it is necessary. Don't start by asking them to begin to minister to you. You take care of them. A time will come when they are mature enough. They will provide you with the milk, with the clothing, with all that you need. In chapter 22 of the same Proverbs, verse 29. Proverbs 22, verse 29, Bible says, "Seest thou a man diligent in his own business?" Mind your own business. Be diligent in your own business. "He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men." Don't struggle to want to be close to a politician. Don't struggle to want to be close to somebody of worth. You focus diligently on the business that you have been given to do. And you will see yourself standing before those men. You will be sought after by those men. You will not be the one searching for them. They will seek after you. If you are diligent about what it is that God has given to you. In Genesis chapter 2, we see how Adam failed after God had made man. The Bible says God made a garden. In the garden. Let me read from verse 7. I'll skip some things though. Chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 from verse 7. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, and good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Let's keep the river flowing and get to verse 15. "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to do what? To dress it and to keep it." To cultivate it, to take care of the garden. We are talking about the business of God. Anything that God has asked you to do, that is your business from God. That is your garden. And that's your assignment, to tend it, to keep it. It was God that built that garden. He caused everything to grow. It wasn't Adam going to plant anything. Adam's own was to tend it. Let's read 16 to 17. "And the Lord..." Let me read it up to 18. "And the Lord God commanded a man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Even though God has given you a garden, there are still do's and don'ts. There are some things that you are not going to do. There are some things you are going to do. And God will tell you, as long as you maintain that, you won't have a problem. Adam and Eve fell because they went beyond the command of God. So they went contrary rather to the command of God. In verse 18, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." It was God that came and saw that Adam was lonely. He didn't say Adam could not do the work. That was not what he was talking about. It was companionship that was the issue. And God provided a companion to Adam. There are many young men and many young women who are pursuing the matter of marriage, and they are not minding their business in God. You mind your business in God, and God will bring you that companion. In the beginning, it may not seem that that person is a companion. Wait until you get to an advanced age. That's when you really appreciate your spouse. Because you will need him or her at some point in time, as you mature. That is why it is best that you take the one that God has told you to take. Because if you take another one, you may be disappointed. Even in your youth, she may desert you. Not to talk of in your old age. In Genesis chapter 3, we know the story very well. Because Eve was not minding her business, was hanging around a place and talking to Satan, the serpent. That was how temptation came and man fell. Mind your own business. In Luke chapter 13, we're looking at the Lord now, because the Lord is the second Adam, or the last Adam rather. The first Adam failed woefully. Then God brought the last Adam. And we all are in the last Adam, provided we have accepted him as our Lord and Savior. Luke chapter 13, 31 to 33. Luke chapter 13, 31 to 33. The same day, there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto him, that is unto Jesus, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today, and tomorrow, and the third day, I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today, and tomorrow, and the day following. For it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. They were asking the Lord, encouraging the Lord, get away from here. Herod is looking for you. The Lord was not moved by it. Why? Because he knew what his business was. He knew that it is not possible for Herod to take him out before his time. And he made it clear. Look, he said, let me tell you something. There is no way a prophet will not perish except in Jerusalem. It must be in Jerusalem that the prophet will perish. So that Jerusalem, I am going there. And we are going to see a few more things as we go on. In Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Verse 12 to 17. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. Why? Why would he be departing to Galilee? John has been in prison. John is a minister like him. Why would he not make representation to the authorities to free John? Why would he not make call a prayer session to free John? But he goes on to Galilee. The Bible says in verse 13, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Let's pause. He went to Galilee and to the land of Capernaum to fulfill prophecy. In other words, he was obedient to the word of God. The emotional thing to do would have been to go and seek the freedom of John. But the spiritual thing to do was to fulfill the will of God. And so he did it. And in verse 17 it records, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You remember the young man whom, when the Lord said to him, come and follow me. No, the man said to the Lord, I will follow you, but first let me go and bury my father. Let me go and arrange funeral things. In fact, one commentator remarked that it was possible that he was looking for, what's it called now? He was looking for the will to be read so that he can pick his own answer, and he didn't want to miss the reading of the will. The Lord said to him, let the dead bury the dead. You go and do what? Preach the kingdom. In Luke chapter 12, verse 13 to 15. Luke 12, 13 to 15. A lot of people do this to pastors, what we're about to read now. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide inheritance with me. We involve pastors in family matters. We bring them, and then pastors, not minding their business, go and entrench themselves in family matters. Are we to avoid family matters? Let the Lord guide you. There are some issues that you have no business in. It's none of your business. No matter how beloved that man is. Because many a times when they come and tell you stories about their family, it is one-sided. You have not heard the other side. When you hear the other side, you will know that man just came to tell you a story that he liked. In verse 14, the Lord Jesus said unto him, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? It is not my business. That's what the Lord was saying. It's not my business. It's not my business to come and judge between you and your brother. It's not my business to come and share property for you and your brother. That's not my business. That's not my calling. That's not the assignment I was given. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. That was the problem of this young man. It was covetousness. I bet for him to be asking for the property to be shared, he was the junior one over besides his brother. He would not allow the elder brother to do what he's supposed to do, which is right. He wanted to usurp it out of covetousness. Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Mind your own business. Leave other people's properties alone. Sometimes when they come and tell us, Pastor, hey, you don't know what my father left. My father left billions. Our head begins to calculate the tithe of the billions. And then we make it a matter of course. To take it as a prayer project. To take it as a matter that you want to resolve. Because deep inside your heart, you have calculated what that money would do if that fellow was in church with that money. But you don't realize that he is covetous just like you are. And that when that money comes to him, you won't see him in that church. Then you start getting angry. Say, that's how we are helping people. And when they have been helped, we don't see them again in church. No! God is just playing on your covetousness and to deal with you. I heard the story of one pastor in the city of Ibadan. He wanted to hold a crusade. But in the back of his mind, what he was thinking of was the offering that will come from that crusade. So every night they will go and pray. As they are praying, they will be praying, of course in Yoruba, Ero, Ero, Ero means crowd. Lord, crowd. Lord, we want crowd. Lord, we want crowd. Okay. So he got the crowd. When the program started, he got the crowd. Then they began to take offering. At the end of the offering thing, when they told him the amount, the man was wondering what was going on. Then they showed him the offering figures. 5 naira, 10 naira. It was market women that came. And they dropped 5 naira. He was thinking that it would want, they would drop 10,000. And God met him there. Your covetousness, I will show you. You want crowd. For what purpose? Is it for the purpose of salvation? Or is it purpose of putting money in your pocket? I pray that the Lord will help us. Mind your own business. That is God's word to somebody here today. Mind your own business. In the course of my travels, I attended a couple of churches in Lagos. And particularly one I must have attended 3 times. And when you enter these churches, I mean, and you look at what we have here, you say, wow, something is wrong somewhere. What are we not doing right? And I heard God say to me, mind your own business. The danger is for us to want to be like someone else. To want to run church the way other people are running church. God said to me, when I spoke to you in 2008, what was it I told you? I said, you said I should go and teach that people are not being taught. He said, mind your business. There are people who have an assignment to build big churches. Leave them alone. You mind your own business. I called you to teach. Go and teach. I didn't call you to build church. I called you to gather a few people. Teach them. When they are taught, they will go ahead and do the work of God. The work that I want them to do. That's my assignment. Let me mind that business. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. From verse 10 through to verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 to 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. We don't want to discuss this, but it is important that the church speak from the same mind, the mind of Christ. Speak from the same word, the word of God. Have the same interpretation, the interpretation of the Holy Spirit. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. Lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. Look at verse 17. It's critical. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to do what? To preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. He said, my business was not to baptize. Baptism was just an aside. So let's not turn it into something big. Oh, because Paul baptized me, so I'm of Paul. No! I baptize you into the body of Christ. Not to myself. I preach the word of God to you. Not in the wisdom of men's words. But by the cross of Christ. Don't turn me into an idol. I am minding my business. In Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. They said the serving of tables is another business. The ministry of the word is another business. Do you understand? In spite of the fact that there was a crucial problem here that was bordering on ethnic matters, even nepotism, they said, that's not any reason for us to leave our own business and go and take care of another business. Look at verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over what? This other business. That's not my business. Let's get other people to do that. And in verse 4, he confirmed it. He said, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. That is our business. Let me mind my business. Let others mind the other business. But even though it was to be minded by other people, what was it that they said? There are qualifications for those people. Do you understand? And they are not just ordinary qualifications. They are spiritual qualifications. Honest report. Men full of the Holy Ghost. Men full of wisdom. Men full of faith. To mind that business. But it is not our business. Sometimes we want the pastor to be involved in everything. It's time for us to find out what is my business. Mind your own business. And if you are to mind your own business, I want to share 3 things that are essential. Number 1, you must find your business. That is, you must find out what that business is. You must know what that business is. How do you do that? Prayer. Fellowship. Communion. Communion is basically personal Bible study, meditation on the Word of God, communing with God, not with men. Note that, not with men. We must be able to take time out to seek the face of God. And sometimes, as you are doing your regular Bible study, as you are having general fellowship, God will now tell you what He wants you to do. In Mark chapter 1, Mark chapter 1, verse 35 to 39. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he, that is Jesus, went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. The night before, or the day before rather, the Lord Jesus had gone to Simon Peter's home, had seen Simon Peter's mother-in-law ill, prayed for her, she got up and began to serve, then people filled the place with all kinds of things, and he healed them all. The next day, in the morning, he gets up to go and pray. Verse 36, and Simon and they that were with him followed after him, that is, they began to search for him, look for him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. All men are looking for, we are looking for you. Not after what the wonderful thing that happened yesterday. Verse 38. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I, that is my business. The next town is in my agenda. I need to go there and preach. I cannot stay in one place because all men are seeking for me. Verse 39, and he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. Many people would like us to stay in one place, but sometimes the word of God does not keep us in one place.
Word of God requires that we move around the place. In our scripture text, John chapter 21, verse 15, 16, and 17. We see what the Lord Jesus was saying to Peter. He said, Peter, do you love me more than these? Feed my lambs. That's how he started. Feed my lambs. Do you love me more than these? The second time, feed my sheep. The sheep is now a conglomeration. The third time again, feed my sheep. But you can see that what he was drawing there, which comes out as a result of fellowship, is your love for me should be the basis for your doing what I want you to do. Do you understand that? So you must find out your business. As God is interacting with you, when you find out your business, you will see what is uppermost in the heart of God. You will see what God intends for you to achieve and accomplish. And when you are going off course, you will hear the nudging of the Spirit of God calling you back so that you don't get lost and caught in other people's businesses. So if you are going to mind your business, number one is what? Find out what your business is. Number two, focus on your business. It's not just enough to find out what your business is. Focus on your business. Be focused. I'll tell you a story that is in Joel. And you will see what it means to be focused on one's business. Joel chapter 2. I'll read the first 11 verses, verse 1 through to verse 11, Joel chapter 2. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is a night at hand. For it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Look at the army. This is what God is talking about. An invading army is coming. They had just gone through a famine of locusts and caterpillars and cankerworm and other things, which is why he made that in later in that chapter, that they will be restored. There had been so much devastation. And so God is saying, blow a trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm. Alert them. The day of the Lord is coming. Judgment of God is about to happen. Terrible things are about to happen. In verse 3 it says, a fire devoureth before them. That's before this army. And behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the garden of Eden before them. And behind them a desolate wilderness. Yeah, and nothing shall escape them. That is how the army of locusts is like. The land is green. But as they are passing, you have desolation. They've eaten everything. God is saying there's an army that is coming. This is how they will be. He says the appearance of them is as the appearance of horses. And as horsemen, so they shall run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains, shall they leap. Like the noise of a flame of fire that devoured the stubble. As a strong people set in battle array. Before their face, the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. Note this army. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall into men like men of war. And they shall march everyone in his ways. And they shall not break their ranks. That's what we mean by focus. This is your line. So this army, that's how they... You will see them marching in their line. Their purpose is set. Their focus is before them. They are not turning to the right. They are not turning to the left. They are not minding what the man on the right or the man on the left is doing. They are just doing their own. The man on the right is doing his own. The man on the left is doing his own. That's what we mean by focusing on your business. In verse 8, he says, neither shall one thrust another. They don't kill. They don't attack each other. Because they are minding their ranks. Today in the ministry, pastors are attacking pastors. Some pastors have become politicians. We now have political pastors who make commentaries on political matters. They have taken sides. They have a party that they love over another party. Neither shall one thrust another. The body of Christ is not divided. If we're minding our business, by now we should have conquered the world. But we are entering other people's paths because we want to be like other people.
Focus on the ministry that God has committed into your hands. Do what God said you should do. It may not be glamorous. Okay, but do it. Let me tell you something. At the end of the day, when you stand before God, God will ask you, did you do what I said you should do? That's the question you are going to ask. You are going to have to answer. Not, did you do what my pastor told me? Did you do what the other ministry was doing? Did you do what I told you to do? That's what he told Peter. If I say this man should wait till I come, how is that your business? You go and do what I told you to do. Follow me. We are to follow after Jesus. Make him your focus. They shall one thrust another. They shall walk everyone in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. You can know that this is the army of God. Not just an invading army. This is the army of God. This is what God is saying to you and I. When we go out for missions or ministry, go in your rank. I have commissioned you to go to a place. Go there. Speak to the people there. Even if they attack you, you will not die. You may die physically, you will not die spiritually. We should no longer be afraid of the sword, or the bullet, or the machete, if you are focusing on your business. Verse 9. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. Unconventional methods to preach the gospel. We are having a lot of unconventional methods, but it's not to preach the gospel. It's just to gather people into our churches. Let's preach the word. The air shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark. And the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. I told you that this is the army of God. For his camp is very great. For he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. And who can abide it? You focus on your own business. In Nehemiah chapter 6. Again, I want to read it. Even though it's lengthy. But I want to read it. So that we can understand what it means to be focused on your own business, not another man's business. And there will be temptations to draw you away from that focus. Nehemiah chapter 6, from verse 1 to 15. Now it came to pass, when Sambalat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sambalat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing what? A great work. Brethren, when you understand that you are doing the business of God, it is a great work. You know why it's a great work? Because it is a work being done for a great God. Do you understand? It is a work that will occupy you. That will preoccupy you. You cannot get away from it. I listened to an interview yesterday of a football club manager. They were asking him, how does he manage when he has lost a match, when he goes home? He says, well, the family knows that they need to give him space. He himself wants to get away from the whole thing. So what does he do? He switches on the TV and watches some other film. He says, but there's no fooling yourself. Deep inside of you, you are still, even though you are watching it, you are not concentrating on what you are watching. You are focusing on that match. What went wrong? That's what we mean by focusing on your own business. Nothing should distract you. So I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me 4 times after this sort. 4 times. And I answered them after the same manner. 4 times. There are things that will come to distract you from doing your business. And they will come, keep coming. Sometimes they come as a wave. Many of us know how to make excuses. Oh, pastor, you know, I'm busy, so I can't do this. I'm busy, so I can't do this. And we let you. You don't know that you are walking yourself out of the will of God. And replacements are waiting to be called up. Some of those replacements are not even born again as we speak. Some of them are in beer parlors. And God will bring them, clean them up. God forbid. And they'll begin to substitute those who have refused to do the will of God. Verse 5. Then sent Sambalat his servant unto me in like manner the 5th time.
with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, "It is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king, according to these words." Now, let me pause here and explain something to you. You will recall that the person that commissioned Nehemiah to go and build the wall was who? The king, the overall king, what you call the emperor. So, God has commissioned you to do something. Then somebody is coming to say you are just being rebellious. Who is that person to tell you that you are being rebellious? When God has called you to do something. We have looked for all manner of things to ascribe to people so that they will not live under our hold. Some churches have even stigmatized people who, when they leave the place to go and do God's work, they stigmatize them. Somebody was telling me the story of Reinhard Bonnke, although I think they sent to me on social media and I saw it. How he was working with the German team. And they had restrictions on what they could do and what they could not do. He was printing tracts. They said, no, we are not called to do that kind of thing. And they had their own assignment. Eventually, Reinhard Bonnke said, he told his wife, "I need to take time out and go and understand what is going on." So he went to pray. And God told him, "You're about to lose your commission. I sent you to go and do something. You are following other people. If you don't want to lose that commission, leave that place." He left them and went and started. He said, years later, after the work had grown, the head of that commission came to meet him and said, "I thank God that you did not stay with us, that you listened to God." But I'm sure at that time they were not happy with him. And then he said, years later, he met somebody, an assistant to one man of God, an African who had come to that region. And as the servant of this, the assistant of this minister was speaking to him, it dawned on him that the work that he was doing, that minister ought to have been doing it, but that minister refused to leave his country. The same vision that God gave him, God had given to that minister years before. It was just that discussion that brought out that God had told him, shown him a vision and this and that. It was then Reinhard Bonnke could tie the two together and said, "This same vision God told me." So it means that that fellow did not leave where he was supposed to go to, the place where he was supposed to go to. Let's be mindful of those who seek to distract us by one means or the other. What is important is God. What is God saying to you? What has He spoken to you? Have you heard correctly? Don't allow yourself to be misled by the glamour of the world. Verse 7. "And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. And now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now therefore, and let us take counsel together. Then I sent unto them, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands." You can see what the focus of that distraction was. Was what? To weaken them, to stop them from doing the great work that God had commissioned them to do. That was why, that was all. I heard a story of a young man who was serving actively in a ministry. He was married. And then, his work took him away a lot of times. So one day he came back home and noticed that his wife was behaving differently. Eventually, I think he said he got hold of the wife's phone one day and saw an SMS being sent to whoever. That, "So what am I going to do about the pregnancy?" The man said, "What?" He didn't ask his wife anything. He just grabbed his bag and left the house. No word. Meanwhile, he had 3 or 4 children to look after. He left the wife with the children and just left. Years later, when they saw him, he said, "What happened?" He said, "Well, I mean, he just went mad. He was confused." Meanwhile, he had gone to marry another woman with children. So the minister that was talking to him said, "Have you seen how Satan, that the goal was to stop you from the progress you were making spiritually. Now, you don't go to any church. Now you have nothing to do with God. Look at what you have done. Look at the mess that you have now. You have 2 wives with children.
Many of us don't know the extent to which Satan, when we call Satan did the second, and we are talking of small, small things. I wonder, do these people understand what Satan will do those tiny things? No, that's not his business. There are more important, he wants to stop you from doing the will of God. Sickness is to stop you from doing the will of God. When you are sick, keep at it, do the work of God. When you are sick, pray the work of God. After a while, he will leave you alone. He will know that this one is not working. Discouragement is to make you to stop doing the work of God. Depression is to make you to stop doing the work of God. Keep at it. No matter how long it takes. There are many ministries that today that we applaud. We don't know how they started. We don't know the challenges they face. But we want to be like them. And then when we face our own challenges, we start wondering, what am I doing wrong? We want to go for a church growth seminar. It's not by seminar. Be focused on what it is that God has called you to do. Verse 10. Afterward, I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Tabeel, who was shut up, and he said that it was in prison, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him. Do you understand? This is somebody who says he was a prophet. So I perceived that God has not sent him, but that he pronounces prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. You remember the old prophet and the man of God that came from Judah? This was how the old prophet misled that man of God, and he met his demise. I'm thinking we are going to that is part of the discussion for the Voice of One, which is on Wednesday. Verse 13. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. If you are thinking of what people will do to you, you will not do the work of God. But if you do the work of God, God is there to protect you and to watch over you. Our faith in God must be so strong that regardless of the pressure from the opposition, we stay our course in God. Be focused on your own business. Sanballat and Tobias, they have a business. And they are doing their, you know what their business is? To stop the work. Is that not so? And they are using every method to do it. Your own business is not to stop the work, but to continue doing the work. So continue to do the work. Not sickness. Not debt. Not death. Not anything. The Bible says, what is it that can stop, that can separate us from the love of God? The people who love God, they do his will. What can separate us from doing the work of God? Angels, demons, never, nothing. We keep at it. We keep at it. Verse 14. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah, the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. Nehemiah said, this words they brought was to make me afraid, so that I would stop the work. What was the goal of Sanballat, Tobias, and the other people? To stop the work. They were perfectly happy with Judah being without walls, without gates. They were perfectly happy. So when they saw one coming to do that work, they began, how do we sort it out? When God has given you an assignment, it is typifying building walls in people's lives. When there are no walls in a community, anybody can go in and come out of that community as will. They can do anything. But when you go to minister the word of God, what you are doing is you are raising up protection. You are raising up a standard in their lives, where they will not allow sin into their lives anymore. They will not allow Satan into their lives anymore. They will not allow wrong doctrines into their lives anymore. So Satan and his cohorts must work hard to stop you from doing that. And you want to get discouraged. Why do you allow yourself to be discouraged? Focus on your own business. Leave the Sanballat and Tobias alone. Look at verse 15. The last verse we're going to read here. So the wall was finished in what? 20 and 5th day. Sorry. The wall was finished in the 20 and 5th day of the month Elul in 52 days. 52 days, he was done. Why was he able to do it in 52 days? He did not allow distraction from the Sambalats and the Tobiases. Today, all manner of things are drawing us and pulling us left, right, and center. We are being distracted all over the place by all kinds of things. And we are unable to be focused on the work that God has called us to do. In Luke chapter 9, 51 to 56, we've read that before. Luke 9, 51 to 56, where they wanted to enter into a village in Samaria, a Samaritan village. But the Bible says, let me read it, 51. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he, that is Jesus, should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He was focused on going to Jerusalem. And sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. He said, we don't want you here. If you are coming to stay, we are okay. But please don't make our community a thoroughfare. You are either going to stay here or don't go and look for another route to Jerusalem. But don't come here. Oh, pastor, we don't want you to go. Oh, pastor, stay. Oh, you know, without you, we'll... It's a lie. You go and you will see that the church will even be more vibrant. They will move on further. Have you seen many people who have died? That the churches did not die with them. The churches continue because it's God that planted the church. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, will thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? You have no business doing this kind of a thing. This is what we call a busybody's work. But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Then let me read verse, just skip to 61 and 62 of the same chapter 9. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Focus on your business. In John chapter 12. We read about the Lord when it was clear to him that he was going to die, that God was not changing his mind. John 12, 27 and 28. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. This is the business that brought me here. Do you understand? So what shall I say? Save me from this hour? No, but this is the business that brought me to this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Have you seen the attitude of focusing on your own business? Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. My brothers and my sisters, we need to be focused on the business. After you have found out what the business is, focus on doing that business. Acts chapter 20. I read just three verses there, 22 to 24. Acts 20, 22 to 24. And now behold, this is Paul speaking to the Ephesian church. I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. They are waiting for me. Suffering is waiting for me. The Spirit of God is saying, go to Jerusalem. And yet, he's saying, this is what is going to be, what is what you are going to meet there. It's not going to be a rosy thing. The ministry you are going to face next is a challenge. Bonds, afflictions are awaiting you there. Verse 24. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life there unto myself. Honestly speaking, if you are not ready to die, please just go and do something else. You cannot serve God as long as you are not ready to die. At least you cannot serve Him acceptably. If all your focus is on this life, you can't serve God acceptably. So I count not my life there unto myself.
Not interested. My life belongs to God. Whatever I want to do with it, so be it. Look at verse 12. Look at what it says there. So that I might finish my course with what? With joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That brings me to the third thing. I've told you the first two. What's number one? Find out what your business is. Find that out by prayer, fellowship, communion, Bible study, meditation on the word, talking to God, not to men. Secondly, what do you do? Focus on doing that business. Make it your focus. Don't turn to the right, don't turn to the left. Don't look at what others are doing. Put your focus on that business that God has committed into your hands. If another person's ministry is growing to 1 million, what business of that is yours? Follow the Lord. If somebody else is not doing okay, and there are two or three people in his church, what business of that is yours? Follow the Lord. Do you understand? Make that business that God has given you, focus on it. If you want to focus on somebody else, it must be to strengthen that person. Not to go and copy him because your assignments are different. If I'm building the fence of a house, and I commission you to build the front, another person to build the back, another person to build the one side, another one the other side, why would you go and be looking at what the man who's at the back is doing when your own in the front has a gate? The back has no gate. The back is to be sealed. Why do you want to copy the back? The front has a reason why it has a gate. If the side has a, if one side has a side gate, and the other side does not have a side gate, there is a reason why one side has a side gate and the other hasn't got a side gate. Why do you want to transpose one fence to the other fence? The purposes are different. There is a reason why the architect who designed the building designed the fence that way. Our architect is God. There is a reason why he put you to do what he has told you to do. Why do you want to copy somebody else? Why do you want to mind other people's business? Why do you want to get yourself frustrated? Focus on your own business. Finally, you're not only going to find out what that business is and focus on that business, you must finish that business. That's what Paul was saying in Acts 20, verse 24. He said, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with what? With joy. I keep focusing, I keep pressing on as I'm requested to press on. Why? I want to finish it with joy. Not with sorrow, not with shame. I want to finish it such that God will say to me, enter into my rest, you good and faithful servant. You must finish that business. It's not enough to start. You must complete it. In John chapter 4, verse 31 to 38. John 4, 31 to 38. This was when the Lord Jesus met with the Samaritan woman at the well. He had sent his disciples to go and buy food. Now they had come. Samaritan woman had left. Now, verse 31 says, In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, My meat is what? To do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. It's not enough to be focused on that work. We must finish it. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Don't look at the field with the human eye. Look at it with the spiritual eye. Lift up your eyes to God. Let God allow you to see through his own prism what he's seeing. You will see that when you say, no, there's no harvest yet, the harvest is already white. It's ready for the reaping. And he that reapeth, receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. You are not being sent to a place to go and be struggling. Others have done the groundwork. Some in the place of prayer. They didn't even know what they were praying for, but they had prayed in the spirit. And they had softened the ground. You go in there and harvest. It's not enough to be focused on doing the business. You must finish it. You cannot get midstream and abandon the work and say, well, I gave up because I'm tired. I gave up because, look, people were not interested in what I was doing. People were going to the other church. The other church has its own business. You have your own business. Do your own business. By the time you get to John chapter 19, you see what the Lord did on the cross. John 19, 28 to 30. 28 to 30. This was while Jesus was on the cross. After this, Jesus knowing, he knew that all things were now accomplished. He had finished everything. He had walked the face of this earth. He had raised his disciples. He had appointed them. He had set them together. Had taught them. Had wrought miracles. And done so many things for a testimony against the Pharisees. He had done so many things. Now he was hanging on the cross. He said that the scripture might be fulfilled. He said, I thirst. It was in the scriptures that he would say, I thirst. He was fulfilling scripture yet on the cross. He could have grumbled. He didn't. He just said, I thirst. In fact, the reference to that is Psalm 69 verse 21. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar. And they filled a sponge with vinegar. And put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He had finished his work. At least up to that point. We know that there was the work to be done after resurrection. There was still the priming of the disciples. Or the prepping of the disciples rather. One of which was what formed our scripture text when he restored Peter. The Lord ran his course. He knew what it was. He was focused resolute on it. And he finished it. You and I must do the same. For us to be living day and night, not knowing the will of God, something is wrong somewhere. I cannot understand how we will not know the will of our Father. When I say knowing the will, it doesn't mean that you will know it from A to Z. But as you are yielding to Him, you are actually walking in that will, which is part of the knowledge of the will. You don't have to necessarily know it to do it. Just be obedient to the Spirit of God and you are doing the will of God. That's what is important. The knowledge of the will is so that you do it. Is that not so? So if you are doing it, whether you know it or not, is irrelevant. In 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is Paul writing. For I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. You can see when you know the will of God that you are doing. When you are focused on it. A time will come when you know that my assignment here is over. It's time for me to move on. Either on the earth or in a particular location. It's time to move on. In a particular place. It's time to move on. Remember when I first came to Port Harcourt to pastor a church? The work was both administrative and evangelistic. It was to set things in order and to bring men in. This second coming is to raise men, to teach the word of God. To raise men who will go out there and challenge other people and teach the word of God as well. The same person, but different assignments at different times. You must know what God is calling you to do. Find it. You will know when you have done it. When it's accomplished. When it's time for you to leave. At least you will perceive it. Verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Why did he say I fought a good fight? Because man, you will fight to keep doing the work of God. Because Satan is not going to allow you to just walk through him. He will throw all manner of pebbles and sticks, hurdles along your way to trip you off. He will set traps for you. He will dig holes and cover it with grass so that you can fall in and stop that work. Say, I fought a good fight. Fought against Satan and his cohorts. I fought against wrong doctrines when they were preached, when were spoken to me. I fought against false prophecies when they came. I fought against jobs. Options that were given to me that had more money. I fought against tickets that were given to me to go and preach in some faraway land where I would have received dollars and pounds. I stayed the course and I finished my course. I have kept the faith. To finish the course is to keep the faith, to stick in with God, to trust Him absolutely and to remain with Him. In verse 8, it says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do you love his appearing? Are you pursuing to finish his business? In 2 Peter, when Peter wrote this letter, he made a remark to them. Let me read from verse 13. He says, yeah, I think it meet. I think it proper. I believe it's proper. As long as I am in this tabernacle, this body, this human body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ had showed me in John 21. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, after I have gone, to have these things always in remembrance. This is somebody who is about to die. What was his focus? To finish that assignment. How was he going to finish it? Documenting it. Today we have it. He says, I know that you are following the present truth, but I still need to keep reminding you. You need to keep reading it over and over again. You need to keep hearing the word over and over again. Look at verse 16. He says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For we received from God the Father honor and glory. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, that is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He's speaking here of the transfiguration. So, and this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. I'm not trying to bamboozle you. No! I know what I followed. I know what I pursued. And I'm saying to you, me, I'm saying to you, that I know the God that has called me. I know that the work may not be as glamorous as some other people's work is, but let me stay my course. Let me finish my course. What God has called you to do may not also be glamorous, but stay there and do it. Like the Bible says, Paul was right, he said, I am ready to spend and be spent. Spend and be spent for the gospel. Conclusion. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Verse 37 to 39. This is after John had introduced the Lord Jesus to his disciples by saying, behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the world. Now from verse 37. And the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, what seek ye? What are you looking for? Why are you here? What are you doing here? Why did you come? Why are you a Christian? What are you looking for? You want healing? You want deliverance from demons? You want to be rich? You want to be known? You want God to put you on a pedestal where everybody will say yes, they will come and worship you? What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? Where is your house? We are not interested in main road, introduction. We don't want a fair weather friendship with you. We want to know where you live. Where do you live? Verse 39, he said unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt. And then they went away and never returned. Is that what the Bible says? It says, and abode with him that day. For it was about the 10th hour. It was getting late. It was about 4 p.m. 10th hour is 4 p.m. It's about 4 p.m. when they went there. They still could have gone home, but they stayed and stayed the night. Why? They were interested in him. So what are we saying by that? When you find Jesus, you have found your business. These were fishermen who were following John until they found Jesus and their business changed. With John the Baptist, they were doing their fishing business and still going after John. But when they found Jesus, they abandoned their fishing business and they followed him. If you are looking for your business, find Jesus. You have found it. Make Jesus your business. If you have not found him, let me tell you the truth. You have no business. You may have the largest business in the world that is making the greatest amount of money. But if you have not yet found Jesus, you haven't found your business. You are just doing something else. No wonder he said, what shall it profit a man if he gain this entire world and loses his soul? Find Jesus and you have found your business. Zechariah, that short man, thought he was in business as a publican, collecting tax money, having so much money, and living well. Until that day, he climbed up on the sycamore tree and found Jesus. Or rather, Jesus found him and called him down. His business changed from that day on. No wonder the Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You have a new business, a new calling, something else to do. When you find Jesus, you have found your business. When you focus on Jesus, you are focused on your business. Hebrews 12:2. What does it say? What does it say now? Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2. We should be able to quote that. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your... Follow him. What does it say? Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He too had things that would challenge him not to focus. He said, focus on him. You will get there. And when you finish in Christ, you have finished your business. How does he help you to start in Christ and to finish outside Christ? If Christ is your business and you finish outside Christ, have you finished your business? No. Staying there. People remained in Christ. Even when the challenge was there for them to jump out. Today I go onto social media and I'm amazed that pastors who have left the Word of God, the business of the Word of God, and have entered into the foray of politicking. It's not as if I don't have my own views on politics. But that's not my business. I can sit with my wife and discuss. I can sit with other people and discuss it. But that's not my business. I know it's not my business. So I'm not going to make pronouncements when it's not my business. I might have my views. That's my view. But it's not my business. We are weakening the gospel by making a foray into what is not our business. We are taking sides by making a foray into what is not our business. Our vice president, who is a Christian and a pastor, is being ridiculed because many of the other pastors have a different political affiliation. And I've heard all manner of derogatory statements being made. Today I opened my Facebook timeline and I saw something that was printed there. I didn't want to talk about it. But it grieved me. Because it was posted by a Christian, a pastor. And what was he doing? He was sending derogatory messages against a particular denomination. Which has the tag, the name Redeemed. Say, are you redeemed? And then he will make some statements. Are you redeemed? If you're a Christian, you are redeemed. The fact that a church calls itself the redeemed presence of God does not mean that you should be derogatory to those who are redeemed. And he's a member of that church. Just because they believe. That the vice president of that church, they made a statement to the effect that he said, "When are you redeemed? Yes, our errand, is an errand boy to the errand boy of the Emirates." So what is wrong with this fellow? See how politics have made many of us to go mad. We have no regard for leaders in the church anymore because. We are not making our business our business. We are putting our mouth in other people's business. Make the Lord your business. Mind Him. Minister to Him. And He will magnify you at the end of the age when you stand before God. What matters the most is your standing before God at the end of this age. If our hope is only in this world, like the Bible says, then we are most miserable of all men. Our hope is that one day we shall stand before the Almighty in heaven. And I hope at least, to hear God say to me, well done, good and faithful servant. For that cause, I mind my own business. It may not be pleasant. It may not be exciting. But I want to mind my own business. Those days when I used to read Jeremiah, I used to wonder, what kind of fellow is this? How do you get this kind of ministry? You will talk, nobody will listen. They will see it happen, yet they will continue. What kind of ministry is this? Until God began to pass me through certain things, then I understood. In fact, one occasion, Jeremiah said, "Ah, God, you deceived me." And I said, "I wasn't going to preach again. But your word was in me, in my bones as fire." I couldn't shut my mouth. I had to open it and begin to speak. Brethren, I pray that God will cause his word in you, in your bones, to be as fire. I pray that many of us who are still sitting down, not wanting to move, that God will cause fire to burn our buttocks. I pray that many of us who are happy with our state and using it as an excuse not to do the work of God, that God will come and give you some serious flogging. The Bible says, in whatever state you find yourself, to continue to serve God. Are you a slave? Serve God. Knowing that your master has a master whom you are serving, that is God. Are you a master? You are free. Serve God. Knowing that you have a master who is God. Brothers, my sisters, it's time for us to be content with where God has placed us. Stop looking elsewhere. Stop seeking to be what God has not called you to be. Let us pray. I want you to pray to God. Ask Him to help you to mind your own business. Tell Him, "Lord, I don't even know the business that you have called me to. Please, Lord, help me to find that business. Help me to focus on that business and to do that business. Help me, Lord, to mind that business. Help me, Father. Let me not be those who are seeking to compare themselves and seek to do what other people are doing, rather minding the business that you have given to them. It may be fantastic to go to a church and see how good that church is. Yes, but you mind your own business. Maybe God has not called you to do that kind of glamorous thing that they are doing. You do what God has called you to do. Mind your business. Keep your focus. And seek to finish that business. Of what use is it if you start a business and you can't finish it? Mind your business. Ask God to help you. Because there are Sambalas and Tobiases. They come in different shapes and forms. They can come in different forms to deter you from doing the business that God has committed into your hands. They can come as murmurings in the church. They can come as sickness. They can come as illness. They can come as challenges. They can come as comments from your colleagues. They can come as oppressive tactics from even your leaders. They can come in every shape or form. But focus on doing the business. Sometimes they can even come as pleasant things, wonderful gifts, as long as it will turn your face from looking onto Jesus. Honestly speaking, if all you are praying for is, "Lord Jesus, make me your focus. I want you to be my business. I want to focus on you. Let me seek and find you. Let me finish in you." My brother, my sister, you are okay. You finish your business. Mind him. Minister to him. Make him the object and subject of your entire life. On resurrection morning, he will magnify you before the Father. That I can guarantee you. You will hear a good commendation. Let us not be swayed or moved by what we see. Let us be moved by God's word. Let's not be swayed by what we hear happening around us. Let's be moved by the word of God. Pray. "I'm not moved by what I see. Hallelujah. I'm only moved by the word of God. Hallelujah. I'm not moved by what I see. Hallelujah. I'm only moved by the word of God. Hallelujah. We are not moved by what we see. Hallelujah. We are only moved by the word of God. We are not moved by what they say. Bless your name. We magnify you for all that you have done in our lives. Thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us. Father, help us to mind our own business. Help us to be diligent in our own business. Help us to be focused on the business that you have committed into our hands. Father, speak clearly to us about what it is you want us to do.
Grant us the grace, Almighty and everlasting God, to pursue it and make it our pursuit.
Lord, we ask, help us to finish that business, so that when we stand before you on the last day, we will not be ashamed. But we will be able to say, Lord, all that you asked us to do, we have done. Supply us with your grace. Fill us with your spirit. Enable us by your spirit, and let your name be glorified. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Let the people of God say better. Amen.